This is Mindy McNeil, and I am joined in studio by Jean Rupin. She is the Film Festival Director for the Indigenous Film and Arts Festival. Thank you so much for being here today, Jean.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to be here.
Yeah. You know, okay, so real quickly, I wanted to talk to you because, I mean, we've got some things coming up Thursday, October 10th from 6:30 to 9:00. We have N. Scott Mama Day, Words from a Bear, and that's going to be at the Denver Museum of Nature and Science. And then on Friday, October 11th from 5 to 7, we've got the art opening, Selections from Voices from the Drum and Osage Collection. Now, that's going to be happening at the University of Denver Museum of Anthropology. We've got a few other things. We've got a reception on Saturday, October 12th. We've got on Sunday, October 13th, we've got short films from around the world. And then on Monday, October 14th, we've got a few different things. There's going to be History Colorado has something going on. We've got a round table, More Than a Single Story, a few different things, and we'll be posting some links on our website. But I do want to talk to you real quickly, Jean, about the Selections from Voices from the Drum and Osage Collection. Now, that is going to be with master drum maker Rock Pipestem. And can you tell me a little bit about that? What's going to be happening there?
Sure. So all of these events are part of our annual Indigenous Film and Arts Festival. And every year, as part of the festival, we have an art exhibit. This year's exhibit, Voices from the Drum and Osage Collection, is coming from the Osage Nation Foundation. They organized a project. They had Rock Pipestem, who's a master drum maker, made 19 traditional buffalo hide drums.
Okay.
And then each drum went to an Osage artist to decorate so that they could express what the drum means to them personally, to their family, and to the Osage Nation. The full exhibit will open at Osage sometime in 2020. We were fortunate to get this preview. So we have 10 drums that will be on display at the DU Museum of Anthropology. Rock Pipestem, the drum maker, will be there, and two of the artists, Addie Roanhorse and Yatica Fields, will also be there. So people will have a chance to see these 10 amazing drums, and then we'll have a talk. They can hear Rock talking about making the drums. They can hear Yatica and Addie talking about what their designs mean and the importance of the drum. We will open with a drum song by the Denver Singers. That's a local drum group that some of your listeners may know. So it's going to be an amazing evening and really once in a lifetime because these drums are here for 2 weeks and then they go back to Osage.
Now, it is being presented in conjunction with the Osage Nation Foundation. Where is Osage located? Because, you know, some people are new to Denver and they see Osage the street and they're like, oh, they're going back to Osage Street? No.
They're going back to Oklahoma.
Okay. Just to clarify, so don't go over to Osage Street or looking around because it's not there. So you said Oklahoma.
Right. Pawhuska, that okay. Area.
Okay, great. And so, yeah, and so this, and you said it's going to be starting, actually going full force starting in 2020. Is that correct?
The full exhibit of 19 drums will be at the Osage Nation Museum. They don't have the opening date yet.
Okay.
But the drums are completed and they just organized this preview exhibit for us. Drums are important to many, many Indian tribes and to indigenous peoples all around the world. A lot of people think of the drum as the heartbeat of the nation.
Oh, I like that. Okay.
So drums will resonate with the Denver's American Indian community and indigenous communities around the world.
Around the world, okay. Now, speaking from around the world, now on Sunday, October 13th, now from, it looks like 4 to 9:30, we've got a double feature happening, short films from around the world, and we've got Soup for My Brother, Journey from My Front Door, Rosie, just a few there, and this is all going to be at the Denver Museum of Nature and Science as well. There's one, Meet the Filmmakers, you can meet them from 6 to 6:30, and then at from 6:30 to 8:45, How Mom Decolonized the Screen, and then from 8:45 to 9:30, nice little coffee and dessert reception, kind of like a small meet and greet, get to know everybody. But wanted to talk to you about some of these films. Not asking to pick a favorite, but if you could share just a little bit about a couple that you know of.
Okay. Let me start with Merita.
Okay.
Merita, How Mum Decolonized the Screen. This is a documentary about Merita Mita. She passed away just a few years ago. She was a Maori filmmaker, the first Maori woman to direct a feature-length film.
Okay. And as you say that, my eyes got big because I went to New Zealand last year. Uh-huh. So when you're saying Maori, I'm like, okay, keep talking.
So not only the first Maori woman to direct an Indigenous feature-length film, mm-hmm. but the first Indigenous woman anywhere to direct a feature film.
Okay.
The film was made by her youngest son, Hepi. He went through, and he did a marvelous job with this. He talks about her life as a mother, as a single mother, as a filmmaker. Mm-hmm. It's a very personal, very beautiful film. A lot of archival footage, interviews with Merita, as well as film clips. And we were very fortunate to be able to bring him in through the miracle of technology, through video conferencing. We will be able to have a Q&A with him. He's in Wellington, New Zealand, and he will be leading a Q&A with our audience after the film.
Oh, that's the best meet and greet right there. A nice chance to talk. So that is good. Okay, and there's a few short films. There's The Journey from My Front Door. We've got Names for Snow, Caribou in the Archive. So quite a nice selection there. Yeah.
One of my favorite programs every year, well, they're all my favorites, but I love the shorts programs because people get to see a lot of different stories in one screening. We have a number of films this year from Canada, from First Nations in Canada. In fact, the Consul General of the Canadian Consulate here in Denver will be offering a welcome. We have fiction, we have documentaries, we have films from seasoned professionals, we have films from first-time student filmmakers, a whole range. I'll mention one because the filmmaker will be there, Caribou in the Archive. Jennifer Dysart is the filmmaker. She will be at the program to talk about her film. It's an amazing story. Really, it's about who gets to tell history. She goes back and forth between footage that was rescued from a deteriorating VHS tape that was in her family of Violet Woods on her first caribou hunt. And she contrasts that with archival footage from the National Film Board of Canada, where you see more ethnographic type coverage of people hunting caribou. Mm-hmm. And you see the difference between the personal home movie and a more scripted ethnographic presentation. But it's an amazing story of how they rescued the VHS tape and were able to transfer that into usable media.
Now, all of this, is it being sponsored or being presented through the International Institute for Indigenous Resource Management?
That is the organization, the nonprofit that I work for. Mm-hmm. The Indigenous Film and Arts Festival is an annual event that the Institute puts on, of course, with our many co-sponsors to make this all happen.
One of the things that I read, it said it's a law and policy research institute. What does that mean exactly?
The Institute was founded in 1997 as a 501c3 nonprofit to look at issues that impact Indigenous peoples around the world. For us, resources cover everything. We've looked at natural resources, the human resource, cultural resources. Early on, we looked at a lot of issues around environmental protection and sustainable energy development, sustainable from a tribal perspective. All of our work is focused on furthering tribal interests, tribal sovereignty, and self-determination. Over the years, we've moved more towards an emphasis on the arts and cultural aspect of tribal resources. And so more of our focus currently is on our some museum projects that we have and the film and art events that we have.
Okay, so I grew up on the East Coast, and my part of my tribe is Monacan. It's a small group, though that they're mainly just in Virginia and Pennsylvania, different things like that. So is it a situation where if I needed help, could I come to you all, or would I have to go back to my original Monacan tribe, or how would that work?
So as a law and policy research institute, we're not providing services.
Okay.
Our perspective is on broad issues that impact Indigenous peoples worldwide. We tend to look at issues from the perspective of the tribe or the nation, although a lot of our work actually does have some impact on individuals. One of the projects we're working on now is looking at objects of cultural heritage that are in museums in Europe.
Oh, wow.
You know, there's been a diaspora of Indian people. There's been a diaspora of the cultural heritage as well. And so one of the projects that we're going to be starting next year in 2020 with Imagine 2020 here in Denver is looking at some of these objects and collecting stories from individuals. So in one sense, we work with individuals and individual stories mm-hmm. matter. And in the film festival, I mean, what we have are a lot of individual stories, but the issues have broader implication for American Indian nations and for indigenous communities worldwide.
Okay. Now, I do have a couple other questions here, though, real quickly, because, you know, I'm looking at the schedule. So, like, Words from a Bear, we've got the Voices, Drums from the Osage, and then also, too, there's a reception that's going to be happening on Saturday, October 12th, from 6:15 to 9:15. We've got actually a reception that's going to go from 6:15 to 7. Then we've got Edge of the Knife from 7 to 9:15 over at the University of Denver Davis Auditorium. One thing I'm noticing, though, it says that these activities are free and open to the public. Just a small donation if people choose to give of $5 or more if they would choose to. But this is great because, you know, once again, free, you know, but it gets the word out and it helps people in different ways.
Isn't it wonderful? It's thanks to our wonderful partners in Denver. We have partners that open up these beautiful venues to us. The Denver Museum of Nature and Science, History Colorado, University of Denver, the Anthropology Department, all open up these venues. We have funding from the National Endowment for the Arts. We also have funding from Arts and Society, a Denver-based grant program that supports programs that use art for social change.
Okay.
So we have a lot of support that makes it possible for us to open up these programs as free and open to everybody. And, you know, if you feel like throwing a few dollars in the donation bucket, we wouldn't say no, but it's certainly not necessary. We want these programs to be accessible to everybody.
There is going to be a full schedule of events. There will be a link on our website so that people can find this. And I know that they can, if they want more information, they can go to www.iiirm.org.
Correct. On that website, we have a summary schedule with all the events. We also have all of the film synopses, so people can
Great.
Choose what they want. And then we also have the events posted day by day on our Facebook page, and that is Indigenous Film and Arts Festival.
Perfect. Thank you so much, Gina. I appreciate your time.
It's a pleasure to be here. Thank you.
Uh-huh.